United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called the United States home. The United States has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries. The United States has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. With her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the United States. In 1993, she sent relief teams to provide financial and material assistance to the victims of the 6 Midwestern states that were severely affected by heavy rain and flooding. On December 27, 1997, at the benefit concert, A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, Supreme Master Ching Hai generously contributed $100,000 each to the Vietnam Children's Fund and the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The following year, at another benefit concert, One World of Peace Through Music, she once more contributed generously, with 2 charity organizations being the recipients of her love. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital received $150,000, and the Starlight Children's Foundation received a check for $100,000. Additionally, in the face of one of the worst human tragedies ever to occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai responded immediately, sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. To this day, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the U.S., from Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, and Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. We now invite you to listen to the following lecture by Supreme Master Ching Hai, entitled, The Way to Gain the Kingdom of God is Through Enlightenment, given on February 24, 1991, in Boston, Massachusetts, USA.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
I would like to welcome Master Ching Hai to Yenching Library. We're very honored to have her here. This is the first lecture on her American tour. She hasn't spoken in Boston since October of 1989. So please join me in welcoming her. I'd like to welcome you, ladies and gentlemen, to this congregation and hope we will have a fruitful and enjoyable afternoon. At this time, we would like to present the offerings to Master of fruit and flowers. It's the ancient tradition of respect and gratitude to masters throughout the ages. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to you and present to you Master Ching Hai.
Morning. Just tell you a joke to break the ice. Yesterday we arrived from the airport, and I supposed to have a place to stay. And they have prepared everything, and with flowers, of course, and fruits, and all kind of things, delicacy, and a beautiful bed, covered and soft sofa and everything. So now when I arrive, from the cold and into the cold, The house was empty. Nothing was there. No water, no flower, no bed, nothing. No chair, no cover, no one. We don't know where all things gone to. Okay, so I say, that's it. Maybe we should not stay here, so we move. And the other disciples invited me to come to her house first, to have a refreshment and thing like that. That's okay too. And then so they decided whether I should go back to that house and start it from ABC again or go to the other house in Boston. So they discussed with each other for a long time. It's a big deal, yes. And so, okay, finally decided to go to Boston. And the other do not know, so they go to different direction. Everyone in different houses. And finally, when we assemble all things together, you know, I had to jump in the picture at the last minute. Otherwise, everyone is in different direction. People separated is okay, but the equipment have to be together. But, you know, one over there and the other one in the East Coast and the workers in the West Coast. So we had a very good time to find them together. And everyone was fed and okay, except me. Because I had to work and to put them together. Well, this always happened on tour. Yes, they believe the master can do everything, you know, so they just relax. It's okay. It's nice to be a master. Provided you have enough strength and health. And also have enough patience and energies. I have no worry about the lecture, it's just other things that make trouble. And they think I can do everything, yes. Take care of everything and even hold their hands at the same time, you know, and looking into the eyes. It is very romantic, the people of this world, yes. Too romantic to be practical, yes. And also they expect the master always to sit there and smile. And everyone would come to them and say, my nice child, you know, yes. And then candies and cakes and flowers and fruits. And the master has nothing else to do except to sit there and wait for people to come with blessing. Yes, sometimes we have to be practical. I do not think the people of the world are ignorant. I do think that they are romantic, too romantic. They're imagining many things without trying to work them out or to realize them or to make them come true. We always stay in a sort of dream. Everything in this world seems like a dream to me after many years of searching. Just like a man who wake up from a long dream, we also wake up after we die. Some wakes up into a beautiful surrounding. Some wakes up to find themselves in a strange, peculiar world. Some wakes up to find themselves still in this world, in the same surrounding, but a different kind of body. Well, the same body, just different kind of feeling. Different kind of movement, different kind of bodily function. And some wakes up to find themselves in suffering world. And some wakes up to find themselves in a very dark, unbearable surrounding. It is just like a man in this world who wakes up from his dream to find himself in different situation of his daily life. It depends on what kind of life he is leading. For example, if a man of great responsibility, he might dream a very beautiful dream or not, but when he wakes up, he is faced with all kind of responsibilities and all kind of questions to solve. And a man, a businessman, when he wakes up, he finds himself confronted with a lot of investment problem, bank account, new currency rate, and world economic crisis, and things like that. And a patient in the hospital, when he wakes up, he finds himself in his pain again, with all his tubes around his nose and needles in his ears and another needles here, or maybe bound in bed. Or maybe he has recovered and he enjoy better health, better view now, or he is going to be discharged from hospital that day. So each one of us will wake up one day from our dream, which is approximately about 100 years. This is a long dream, but some have a shorter dream. Good luck. Lucky people. We all know that we will wake up one day, but then we are not ready, we are not prepared for the waking up stage. That's why we are perplexed and fearful. If we know how to prepare for the next day of our life, then the transition is not so painful, and we know what is expected on the other side. It's just like a man who lives a very peaceful life, who does his duty, and who has love, would wake up every day facing nice atmosphere, more or less nice. It depends on how he arranged his life. We do not die after we leave this world. There is nothing to fear if we had led a very, very ordinary and normal life. But there is some fearsome illusion await us if we had neglected the commandments of God. It is for the play of the world that regulations are made. It is for life to go on in a multicolor manner that commandments are instilled. It is not for punishment, actually, but if we do not abide by this law, then some kind of so-called correctional service is necessary. And it's not eternal. It's not eternal. Please do not have this negative picture in your mind that everyone who is disobedient to the law, even just for a short while or temporarily, would be punished eternally. That is not fair. Anyhow, hell is limited. Nobody can be a permanent resident there. Yes. Because God did not intend to make the world into a permanent hell or make a permanent of such ugly things. Therefore, whatever we do, we will have to compensate for it, but for a short while only. But even then, it is very painful for us to have just a short while suffering, because when we suffer, time lasts forever. It takes a long, long time to overcome this period of suffering. It is very easy to understand, just like when we are in this world, when we sleep and we're happy, the time passed so fast. And we couldn't get up in the morning because we thought it's still time to sleep. Or when we are happy with a beloved one or with friends, time seems to be too short. And now when we are in trouble, or when we have to wait for someone, when we have anxiety, when we have pain, bodily or mentally, time seems never end. The same situation happens in hell, that's all. In so-called hell. Hell is just another state of mind. When we are too unhappy, too much suffering, mentally or bodily. It's just like when we are sick or unhappy in this world, and it's multiplied a little bit more, or maybe much more, and that's what we call hell, the state of mental disturbance, of pressure, of invisible suffering. We have many ways to avoid suffering in this world. For example, if we are bored and feel unhappy, then we go out, maybe dance, I go to see movies, I go to see theater. And other people would go to find meditation, go into their corner and find their own happiness inside their within world, the kingdom of God within. When I was in Costa Rica and Panama, I speak English every day. And when I come to the Vietnamese, I couldn't speak Vietnamese. And now I speak Vietnamese fairly well, and then I have to switch to English. English has become difficult now. See, I do not feel there is a great difference concerning nobility between the people who take drugs, who gain hallucination, or gain so-called temporarily happiness through drugs and alcohol or other things. Compared to the people who take the inner intoxication in meditation or finding their own enlightenment. Of course, the ends is different, but the motivation is more or less the same. I do not despise people who take drugs, take alcohol, or use in various, however so-called lowly, cheap substitute to gain happiness, to forget the sorrow of life. I just think they use the wrong way, that's all, and it's a pity. If they know the other way, if they have taste the different way of happiness, they would have turned faster to the other end, and they would be the fastest for enlightenment. They would be the one who runs fastest to any goal, to any means that offer them happiness. I do feel that these people are victims of a very kind of a bad information, or misinformed. And therefore, it is our duty, those so-called still awaken and have some intelligence, we should help instead of just accuse. Because we do not know their longing for truth. We do not know inside their heart there is a great yearning for happiness. And what is happiness and love if it's not God? They yearn for God, and they have misinformation, and they turn to the other end, and they use the wrong thing. Now, I feel these people are also very near renunciation stage, you know, near monkhood, because they also renounce life. They want to find their own imaginary happiness. They reject this kind of material, transitory, ephemeral life. For example, we other people would just happy with whatever small things and go to work every day and take care of our life and take care of our wife and husband, children, etc. But these people, they're so unhappy with this kind of ordinary life. They cannot take it. They don't want this offer. It's not good enough for them, you understand? That means they are very noble. It's not that bad. It's just that they don't have the means to find a way to get out. They probably are more fed up with life than any monks and nuns. They probably are the most renunciate people. Just they don't know how to have the real thing, how to achieve the real happiness. Therefore, we find many ways to gain our so-called enlightenment or nirvana or happiness. But the better way, of course, is through effort, through enlightenment, through a proper channel to God, and not through material substitute like drug or alcohol or other kind of unnatural ways.
Some of the tragic tolls of addictive drug abuse. Over 200,000 deaths each year. Costs of $181 billion each year in the United States. $33 billion in the UK. Lifetime cost of current drug addiction amounts to $575 billion in the UK. Harmful effects. Brain damage. Stroke. Heart disease. Liver disease, tuberculosis, emphysema, cancer, depression, suicide, permanent memory loss, mental illness, higher infant mortality, increased crime and violence, impotence. Crime and violence. Illegal drugs are a factor in 50% of burglaries in the United Kingdom each year. In the U.S., 60% of people arrested each year have been taking illegal drugs. 650 heroin addicts in the U.S. committed 70,000 crimes in a 3-month period. Social costs. U.S. businesses lose $100 billion per year due to employees' drug and alcohol abuse. Australians pay $53 billion per year for healthcare, law enforcement, and lost productivity of drug users. Environmental costs. Every gram of cocaine produced destroys 4.4 square meters of rainforest, with 300,000 hectares of rainforest lost each year to cocaine production. Death. 52 people die each day due to drugs in the U.S. In Canada, substance abuse is attributed to 21% of total deaths and 23% of potential life years lost due to early mortalities. Plus more.
For help quitting, please visit
some of the tragic tolls of alcohol. 2.3 million alcohol-related deaths per year worldwide. Cost of alcohol-related illnesses. $186.4 billion US in the United States. Up to $210 to $665 billion US globally.
Disease. Higher amounts of alcohol increase the cancer risk. Even half a glass of wine daily increases the risk of mouth or throat cancer by 168%. Cancer of the liver, breast, colon, esophagus, rectum. Liver disease. Cardiovascular disease. Metal toxicity. Brain damage. Amnesia and dementia. Brain shrinkage.
Organ failure. Heart, liver, kidneys, stomach, pancreas, eyes.
Birth defects. Children afflicted by anxiety and depression, mental retardation, fetal alcohol syndrome, stunted growth, facial deformity, sudden infant death syndrome, miscarriage.
Alcohol-related violence. Child abuse, 50% of cases. Violence toward loved ones, 30% of cases. Violent acts, 40 to 80% of cases. Suicides, 20 to 50% of cases. Plus more.
For help quitting, please visit
for more information, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/killers.
Therefore, we would like to present to you and any other people who are thirsty for happiness, this way of meditation, which is very safe, which doesn't demand much effort, doesn't demand a change of life, and doesn't demand any cost, and doesn't demand anything that you could not offer. In fact, it doesn't demand anything at all, except that you must look inside and find your own treasure, and find the real lasting happiness. Otherwise, we see even the richest man in the world, or even the king of the whole world, would not be happy without enlightenment. No one has ever been truly happy without enlightenment. The one who is enlightened may seem to be like any of others, may seem to have the same quality, the same character, may seem to be angry sometimes, but his anger is no longer real, no longer with hatred, no longer deep-rooted, and is faded just like the cloud, come and go so fast without any deep emotion. And it's very, very relaxed when you can be angry like that. You know? His anger is just like the sea waves. It doesn't affect the sea at all. The waves come from the sea, but it isn't the sea. It is, but it isn't. It's just caused by wind or by the rotation of the earth. Is unreal, even though it's there. Now, ordinary people without enlightenment, when they're angry, the anger shook the whole foundation of their beings and uprooted most of their intelligence at that moment only. I wouldn't say forever, of course, and sometimes driven them into fanaticism or uncontrollable fits of emotion, which hurts their mental, physical, psychic, emotional, and physical body. You understand what I mean? But the enlightened person, even when he is angry, the anger just on the surface, it doesn't hurt that much. And also the force of anger would not hurt the opposite, because it's not supported with hatred and with real emotion. You understand what I mean? Sometimes the enlightened person could be angry outside but laughing inside, you know? Just like you are acting on the stage and you know what your role is, even though you act very real for the purpose of the audience, to make them happy or to make them sad, just to amuse them. Therefore, there is a difference between enlightenment and not enlightenment, even though both person with enlightenment or non-enlightenment looks exactly the same in some way. But if we are also enlightened, we know, we can sense that person is not the same. We can sense only, but we cannot tell because they both have the same nose in the middle and eyes and both sides or ears over here. And they might eat and talk and sleep and do various duties like us. But inside, they're completely free. Now we always talk about freedoms. There are different kind of freedoms. Freedom from outward movement and freedom inward. Freedom inside is the most profound and nothing can shake it. A freedom outside can change all the time with the different regimes, with the different environments, or with different physical abilities. But the freedom inside never can change. Once we have it, we will always have it. We just have more and more and more each day only. And we discover endless possibility to express our freedom. Whereas the freedom outside is very limited. And it makes even more responsibility, often more responsibility than not. For example, there is a film about Jesus. It is the story about a man who looked for a master for many years, and he saved all his treasure and bought 3 different precious stones and saved it all his time until he met the master. Then he offered. That was all his treasure. Now finally he met Jesus, right? And then he supposed to offer to Jesus, but it was too late, and then something else happened between. He never met a master. He always chased Jesus from one place to another, and always something happened that he could never be face to face with the great master. And that was not the point. Now he has a slave, or so-called workmate for him. And that man worked for him very long time. And one day, the man demanded freedom, you know, from the master. Say, I follow you everywhere and now you don't even pay me or something like that. I want to be free. I want to be free. I don't want to work for you anymore. You're no longer my master, okay? So that person who's supposed to look for the master say, okay, you go. If you want to, you go. Something like that. And the man left. He left and he went outside and he enjoyed his freedom, and then he thought, I don't know after all if I really want my freedom. It's terrible to have no master. He has to take care of everything himself now, and he's kind of not used to it. For example, also, many people who like to be in prison. Well, everybody say in prison is no good. Yes. You are not free, you cannot move about, and you have to sleep on time and wake up on time and do everything under dictation. But many people, I don't say how many, but some people like to be in prison. What job to look and what work to do and who's take care of the kids' education and who's buying the wife jewelry and things like that. They just wake up when they are told to wake up, and they go to sleep when they're told to sleep, and they do what they're told to do, and they feel fantastically free. Maybe they are enlightened, the people, I don't know. And when the people who are free from prisons, if they go outside, they have to look for jobs, which are not always easy. Especially if you have a record from prison and many stamps on it, you know, and people would look at you, you know. It's difficult to find good job. You can find any job, but it's not so good. And you have to take all kinds of responsibility with tax bills and fill in all the forms and complication. I don't know if I could do it myself with all this complication in life. Many people say the nuns and monks are those who are renunciate, but I think you are the one who are renunciates. You renounce the simplicity, the happiness of leading a simple life, the happiness of carefree life, a happiness of dedication to God. You renounce all this in order to take care of these complication tax forms and electric bills and what's next. Children, well, maybe you derive some happiness from taking care of children. It's not that complicated, but I mean, those things which are concerned with children are complicated. You have to take care of them, and when they are sick, you can sleep. You know, when they are not good in the school, you don't feel well. And when they grow up, who is the girlfriend, who's the boyfriend, and who they are with? Are they with drugs or with whatever? Endless trouble, endless anxiety. Just like you're having 2-3 bombs in your house. Explodes every minute. And I think you are the great renunciate. I really admire your courage, your patience, perseverance, and true dedication to complication. I don't know between us who is better than whom. Sometimes I think so. If you put me back to that life to take care of all this, I probably couldn't do it. It's too complicated for me. What with waking up every 5 o'clock in the morning when you sleep the best, when the bed is the warmest, and you are most deepest sleep. I have to wake up half eyes closed and drink coffee, through the nose or what. I cannot see properly. And eating some dry bread. Try to preserve the sleeping atmosphere, but having to wake up at the same time. Sometimes you feel the way into the bathroom. And every day like this, how you do it? If I wake up, I only have to crawl to my meditation hall. It's not very far. Well, I have my work too, but I don't think my work is that complicated. It is in the other sense, but it's not so complicated that your life. And you can go through that happily, or apparently happily. I don't know how you do it. Therefore, this life is each one for himself. But anyhow, in case you are not satisfied with this and you want to have a simple life, more strength innerly, eternally, more understanding into some very delicate details of life and the universe, then we must find an enlightening way to go. If we are satisfied with life as it is and wake up from the dream after 100 years or 60 years, then it's okay. But anyhow, I think it would be nicer if we wake up from our dream, finding a pleasant surrounding, a pleasant situation awaiting us. It would be better than to wake up from our dreams and finding the same situation again, or worse. Everyone goes to sleep at night hoping, consciously or unconsciously, of a better tomorrow, with problems solved, and business better, children nicer, a marriage works out better. But we wake up often, after a long night's sleep, finding the same problem, finding the same situation, or worst circumstances. It is the same with our life. Should we wake up after a lifelong dreaming and find out that we are still in the same world, but in the worst circumstances, then it is very, very tiring, very painful. And I don't think we could endure it. That's why you heard many stories of the people who die and then come back and make a lot of trouble for their relatives because they're not happy where they are. And worse still, they don't have a body to enjoy the enjoyable side of life. We, the human beings, suffer sometimes, but we can enjoy sometimes. And then when we enjoy, we forget the suffering, at least temporarily. But those who left the body without preparation, without a guide, and without any virtues, merit, to accompany them. That means if they live a very ordinary life without doing any good things, without turning their face toward God once, or at least sometimes in their lifetime, then after they left the body, it is difficult for them to find a chance to be in a happy surrounding. So now, since we still have the body and we do not suffer that much, we could have some happiness and some choice, some free will, then we should just prepare for the other world. Because I do not believe that most of the people think that after death there is nothing. I think people are more intelligent now in this era to understand better. And also we have much more information nowadays to prove this belief that our life is eternal. Doesn't matter what it happens after death or before death or before birth, our life is a continuous stream of consciousness and that we never die. We might forsake one body, one kind of vestment after the other, but we never die. If we ever die, how can we be born? If there isn't life before our birth, then where do we come from? If there isn't life after death, then where do we come from before our birth? We couldn't just spring out of nothing. We learn from science that nothing came from nothing. So why should we come from nothing and go back to nothing? So at the age of great scientific development, we should believe even more in the life eternal. And I have enough proof within myself, within my practice, to understand this. And I would like to inform you or confirm your belief that this is true, and that, according to my opinion, and also the opinions of all the great masters in the past, that we should prepare for our great awakening, which takes place after we left this physical body. We awaken to find that we don't die. But then what do we do with it? You know, what shall we orient our life after we have this so-called life? And that is the trouble that we must take into consideration before it's too late.
Supreme Master Qinghai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Thank you for your loving presence for today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Please join us again Friday for part two of The Way to Gain the Kingdom of God is Through Enlightenment. Now, please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Models of Success. Coming up next, after Noteworthy News, we wish you everlasting joy and peace.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.